what's happening? What's going on? Are you dead? Are you going to die? What's going on? He looked at me and he said, God sent me back.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. Subscribe if you hadn't already. Hit that notification bell so you can get all of the upcoming shows delivered directly to you. And my next guest, you know that, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, we've been bringing on exciting guests with exciting stories to help motivate you in life. And my next guest was one who was partying and playing. He was doing what people do at that age. But then he had an extreme event happen. Have you ever had a friend almost die while partying, have an asthma attack, and then come back to say, God sent me back? What an amazing story. With my next guest coming up here on the Dean Show, Isa Nicholas, to share with us what brought him here to be with us today, this amazing journey that what he went through. So inshallah, you can reap the benefits. We'll be right back here on the Dean Show. Subscribe right now, hit that notification bell, help us get our numbers back up. Did you know that many years ago, the Dean Show, when we started 2006, we used to broadcast for many years on the Khalifa Clothing Channel, currently known as Digital Minbar. So we're trying to get our numbers back up because the channel at that time got closed. Then we started the official Dean Show channel. We're trying to get our numbers back up to where they should be. And that's this number here, 855, combined what we currently have, 442. We should be over 1,200,000 subscribers. Help us to get our numbers back to where they should be. With that small setback that we had many years ago, you guys can help us by subscribing right now and hitting that notification bell. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the show. Assalamu alaikum. And don't forget to support us on our Patreon page.
Isa, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Eddie, how you doing?
Good, alhamdulillah. How are you doing, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing great. Thank you.
You have an amazing story to share. Tell us a little bit about yourself. So it's Isa Nicholas.
Isa Nicholas Becerra, that's right. So I'm Cuban-American, born and raised in Miami, Florida, Broward County, Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. Took Shahada in 2013, and I'm here to share my story with you guys.
So go ahead and start. What happened? You were a young boy, Catholic boy. Were you practicing Christianity? What was your purpose, your mission in life at that young age? What was the goal?
Sure. So in my younger years, my parents did do their best to instill some form of religiosity in us by taking us to church and putting us through Catholic teaching and Catholic school during the week. And we believed in God, and we practiced as we believed in God. We used to say prayers and all these things. But as we got older, our family as a whole drifted further away from Catholicism. But in my heart, the teachings that my parents instilled in me of believing in God, they always stuck.
So tell me, around what age was this?
This was around 14, 15.
You had a unique experience happen. You got a long journey, but let's narrow it down to this experience that now from typical young boy, partying, playing, you know, what were you doing?
Sure. So as I became a young man, a young adult, I began to just get caught up in the typical Western lifestyle, which is partying, lust, drugs, just a very frivolous lifestyle, not taking on much responsibility, not developing myself, and not really trying to do my best in my relationship with God, for sure. I was distracted. So during that time is when I had an experience that changed the course of my life forever, inshallah. So I'll share that with you now. That event was my friends and I, we had already tried to develop a sort of spirituality through different means outside of religion. I would call it more of a hippie lifestyle more than anything. And during that time, one night in particular, my friend who was living with me in my parents' house, he was known to suffer from asthma. And as we were partying that night, it was late into the night, about 2, 3 a.m. I'm wondering, where is he? So I go up to his room and I find him in his room. And he is noticeably suffering from an asthma attack. So I said to him, hey, are you okay? Do you need me to take you to the hospital? And he looked at me. He couldn't speak. but he nodded his head and said, yes, I need to go to the hospital, basically. So at that moment, I just jumped into urgency mode and I rushed him into my car. I was 20 at the time. I rushed him into my car and we got on the way to the hospital. On the way to the hospital, my car breaks down. And at this moment, if anybody has been in a situation, you realize there's only a few things you can do here. So I reached for my phone to call 911 to get help. And I left my phone at home. I look at him and he's unconscious. So I start digging in his pockets to get his phone. And he also left his phone at home. And in this moment here, when you have used all your means and there's nothing left, there's only one thing to do, and that's pray to God. So right away, I began to pray to God. God, please help me. Please don't let this happen to me and my friend. I feel responsible for him. He lives with me. What am I going to tell my parents? What am I going to tell his parents? Please save us. At this moment, I was breaking down. I was crying. The car stopped. I began to look into the streets, try to get someone to stop in traffic to help me. But I was hysterical. It was late at night. No one was stopping for me. During this time, I look back at my car and I see my friend. He has rolled out of the car and he's coughing up blood out of the passenger seat. I run up to him and I say, what's happening? What's going on? Are you dead? Are you going to die? What's going on? He looked at me and he said, God sent me back.
What did he say?
He said, God sent me back.
He said, God sent me back. Where was he? Where was he? Where did he go?
I was under the impression, and he was under the impression, that he was dying. And where he was at that explicit moment spiritually, God knows.
Wow. So he felt this was it. He felt like he was leaving this world, that he had that moment, that he had to have been experienced something like out of this world, that he would say, like, I'm back. God sent me back.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. So, and he recognized that. So the first thing he said to me after he told me God sent me back, he asked me what I was doing during that time. And I said to him, I was praying for you. And at that moment, we both broke down and we recognized that. We recognized the reality of God and the reality of the one who created us and how important it is to recognize that and foster that relationship with him.
Now, you being both, I'm assuming you being raised Christian Catholic, what about him? What was he raised
about? He was also raised Christian Catholic. Christian, I'm not sure what denomination.
Respectfully, most Christians, they, besides the Unitarian Christians, they who don't believe in a Trinity, but majority of Christians nowadays, they pray to Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Trinity, and Jesus. So this is what they learn. At that time when the calamity hit, were you saying, Dear Father, Son, Holy Ghost, were you like praying through a Trinity? How were you implementing this earnest desire seeking God's help?
No, good question. So actually, I was invoking the Trinity during this time. And
you what?
SubhanAllah, I was not invoking the Trinity.
But that's what you were raised upon, wasn't it? Weren't you raised on it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the reason I believe I wasn't invoking the Trinity during that time is because my natural instinct in a desperate situation when I had no time to think was to call directly on the one who created me alone.
Mm. So what I was saying, you did was in your very nature. You called upon not a Trinity, not nothing in creation. You didn't call upon this mighty messenger, Jesus, or anything in creation, but you called upon the one and only creator of the heavens and the earth. You did the natural thing to do. That's amazing. Did you even, you didn't have to think about it, right? It was just instinctual?
It was instinctual. I didn't have to think about it, nor did I have time to think about it. It just happened.
Okay, so this thing happens. What happens next?
So after this, I realized that I need to have a relationship with the one who created me. So I begin to search for that. And that started naturally by going back to Christianity, because that's what I was familiar with. And to be honest, that's the only religion I knew. But at the time, I was in college, so I had access to a library. I can go get books. So I began to study Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity together. I didn't know about Islam yet at all. And I was benefiting about the different things that those religions had to offer. However, one day we were all hanging out with my friends and we were talking about the event and we were talking about God. And then during this discussion, my friends and I begin to talk about Jesus alayhi salam and when is he coming back as the Messiah. And some of my friends said he's going to come back soon. You can tell because the signs of the end times. Some of my friends said, we don't know when he's going to come back. Another of them said, oh, I know where he is. He lives in Brazil somewhere. They were just talking nonsense in certain aspects. But then one of them said, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't believe he's the Son of God. And I believe he's the Messiah, but I believe that God is one alone. And I believe the Prophet Muhammad is the last messenger. And I read the Quran. And when he said this, I was shocked. I had no idea what this was. I never heard of it. And I said, wow, I need to get the Quran. So I downloaded the Quran on my phone. And I began to read the Quran along with the other books I was reading. The Bhagavad Gita of the Hindus, a Buddhist book that I checked out from the school library, and the Bible that I had as a child. And I began to read. And now it began the process of elimination for what I actually believed about the identity of who God was and how I can have a relationship with him. So in Buddhism, depending on the sect of Buddhism, they really don't worship God. They don't believe in God. A lot of it has to do with a discipline and ascension in your discipline in life. And this is good, but I already established that I believe in God. So at this point, I didn't need Buddhism anymore. Then Hinduism had very similar aspects about discipline, but they had thousands of gods. And I already established I only believe in one God. So I didn't need the Hinduism book anymore. So I just began to read the Quran and the Bible. And I was amazed in the Quran about how many of the prophets and the stories that I learned growing up are actually part and parcel of Islam and the teachings of Islam. So I was really fascinated by that. Then what it came down to at last was the fact that the Islam and Christianity differentiate the identity of Jesus Christ alayhi salam. So Allah said in the Quran, Allah created Jesus Christ the same way that he created Adam, meaning without needing parents. All he said is be, and he was. And this right there made so much sense to me, that if anyone was to be the Son of God, it would have been Adam with no parents, because Allah created him directly. And if Allah wanted us to worship anyone, Adam would have been more worthy because he was created without parents. But Allah showed us that these are prophets created by the miraculous nature of, by one of God's miracles, by Allah's miracles. So this immediately showed me who Jesus Christ was and who actually deserves to be worshipped. And that is the one that Jesus Christ himself worshipped.
I love hearing these stories. I love hearing these true events, these testimonials. And I love hearing it from people such as yourself, who are such a young, ripe age. And now you're doing what everybody else is doing, partying, playing, lust, desires. But the fitrah now is becoming awake. You and your friends, you're talking about the oneness of God. And if someone is sincerely, humbly searching for the truth, God Almighty, the Creator Allah, will guide them to the truth. And then those signs were sent to you. You also had an incident that you shared with a police officer. You saw that as a sign also?
Yeah, absolutely. And this was a previous event when I was a little bit younger. We got pulled over by the police for some criminal activity that we were doing at that age. And we were actually in my vehicle. So when the police pulled us over, I was the one responsible. So at that time, again, I was desperate. I needed help. I knew that I was guilty. So I began to pray to God. And in this situation, although I was brought up Christian and I knew the Christian theology, and I knew about the Trinity, I was praying directly to God. And I asked him to help me and save me from this situation and save me from the punishment that I was going to receive. So in this situation, the police, they give out the carbon copy forms. One goes to the police office, one goes to the courthouse, and one goes to you. And it's an arrest, but it's a written arrest. They don't take you to jail. So they distributed the forms after they wrote me up. And they gave me the form that was supposed to go to the courthouse. So it ended up making the court case invalid. So alhamdulillah, thank God, I never got in trouble in this particular situation. But it was just another reminder on my journey to identify who God really is, and help me to recognize that.
How much longer after that moment now, so you had this incident that you heard about the Quran, you heard about Islam. So how much longer, a timeline that we can establish, did it take for you to investigate it, to look into it? Like most people, it comes up last. So they get to experience all these different religions, all these different ways. But then they come to Islam, like most people that I've interviewed, and they finally see like, wait, this makes the most sense. It's logical, rational. But now they come to a crossing point like, hold on, my family, my friends, the environment, social pressure usually keeps people away from taking that step forward to accept the truth. How much time did it take investigating this, that you finally ascertained that it is the truth? And what was that deciding moment like that you actually took your shahada?
Excellent question. So from that situation with the police officer, it was about 5 years until the events with my friend having the asthma attack. And from that moment, when my friend having the asthma attack, began my serious searching. And your searching took about, I want to say, a year, or maybe a year to 6 months. 6 months to a year. And after I had established that the Quran was the most logical to me, was the most logical explanation, I began to read only the Quran. And I slowly, during those 6 months, began to change my behaviors and stop the things that I already knew were wrong. But I didn't have the feeling of responsibility or the maturity to change those things in the past. But now that I recognize I'm responsible for myself, and I need to be accountable for myself, I began to change. And that means stopping the partying, stopping the lust, stopping the drug use, stopping the lying, stopping the cheating, stopping all the negative behaviors that have a negative impact on myself and society. So as I began to change based off what the Quran is guiding me to, it reached the day before my 21st birthday. And I was going to South Beach, Miami, with some friends. And on my way to the beach, I saw a man, and he was obviously a Muslim. He was wearing a thobe. He had a beard. I recognized him as a Muslim right away, and I went up to him and I asked him, "Hey," I said, "Assalamu alaikum. Are you a Muslim?" He said, "Yes, I'm a Muslim. I'm here just visiting the beach. I'm actually from Pakistan, and I'm just visiting." I said, "Wow." And he asked me, "Am I a Muslim?" I said, "No, I'm not a Muslim, but I read the Quran." And he said to me, "Oh, wow. So do you know that we believe in one God, that we believe in the prophets, that we believe in the books that he sent, that we believe in the angels, that we believe in the last day, and that we believe that Allah sends decrees and has a destiny written for everyone?" And I said, "Yes, I believe all of these things. And I know it from the Quran." And then I asked him there on South Beach, which is an area of not an area for spirituality, to put it in a way. And I asked him, "How do I become a Muslim?" And from that moment, I took, which is the day before my 21st birthday.
So wait, so you took shahada with this man at that moment, right then and there?
Right then and there, yes, sir.
Subhanallah, in Miami Beach. You ended up taking the shahada. Subhanallah.
And it's amazing, because I didn't, you know, it just happened in a way that it wasn't planned. I didn't know that this man would be there, but I was, and I didn't have any Muslims around me to show me how Islam was going to be. That one friend who told me about Islam, he only told me that Muslims put their forehead on the ground, but he didn't tell me anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same way that Jesus prayed to God, and he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed to who? Himself? No, he prayed to the creator of the heavens and earth. It's there, what we have in the Bible. What, tell us, what happened to your friend, the one who said, "God sent me back"? Whatever happened to him?
Sure. So that friend of mine, to be honest with you, he's had a hard life. going through foster homes and different things that happen to people. It happened to so many people. And all of my friends during that time, they know that I was taking this path toward having a relationship with God. And him in particular, he supported me in my journey. And he agreed with all the teachings that I was sharing and all the points I was giving about who I believe God to be. But none of my friends actually followed me in this path. And I think it had a lot to do with some of the challenges that it take and some of the discipline that it takes to hold yourself accountable. He ended up surviving, and he's alive and he's healthy now. He had received the proper medical treatment and he's doing well.
See, the truth can be up at on a steep mountain, and many people, they don't like to climb. So many people don't like to dig. I mean, the most precious things are buried in the earth. And many of the things that are not good for you are just open and plentiful. So the truth is there. It's something that you have to want and desire and earnestly be seeking. And you just have examples of how many people, you know, accomplish greatness, how many people finish at the top of their class, top of universities. In the beginning, people start, but then now the road is a tough road, right? To suppress your desires, to even if you've done, like a person might have been praying, I mean, partying, doing all the things that a person can do that is opposite to the way that God Almighty wants them to live. But God Almighty, Allah, is the most merciful, the most just. A person can come with all the sins racked up to the heavens and the earth, but if they come worshiping God Almighty Allah, sincerely asking for his forgiveness, God Almighty is the most merciful, the most loving. He will guide an individual and forgive them their sins. But many people, they don't end up taking that. They take the easy road. And like I said earlier, you recognize the truth. But how many people are courageous enough to go against, you know, the societal pressures, you know, and worrying a lot of times what people are going to say, how people think? Do you think this was an obstacle to a lot of your friends? Because you said many people agree when you talk about the oneness of God Almighty, Allah, the pure monotheism, they agree. The basic tenets of Islam, they agree. But now change has to start to happen. You got to start implementing the truth. You think this was a hindrance for a lot of people now? They were scared of what he, she's going to say, all the societal pressures?
Absolutely, I do. And you know, the funny thing is that my friends, I still keep in touch with, and they know that I'm a practicing Muslim. And some of them, even before I took Shahada, they used to put their forehead on the ground with me in prayer. And I received a text message from one of my friends. He said, if you ever make it to paradise, please don't forget to ask Allah. Please don't forget to ask Allah for me, or to help to save me, which shows that the person he cares and he believes in. If you want something, you have to work for it, and that goes for physical fitness, that goes for academic pursuits, and it also goes for spiritual pursuits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I envision how many people in the beginning, they get all, you know, riled up, they get all excited, and they start at the beginning of the semester, for instance, and then start climbing, and some start studying, some start cutting class, but at the end, there's only a few that graduate, you know, only a few, the rest, they drop out. So this is a greater sacrifice, a sacrifice to attain that ultimate reward of Jannah, paradise, and to avoid the hellfire.
And Eddie, I want to also share something with you, and this also comes up a lot when I talk about my experience. That we know this, that when you believe in Allah and you don't associate any partners with Him, and you take your Shahada, Allah removes all your sins, and you start off with a fresh slate, as a new person, as a person who can live a renewed life. But at the same token, even if you commit sins after you become a Muslim, Allah, as long as you're sincere and asking Allah to forgive you, you can start again with a clean slate at any time, because Allah is forgiving and will forgive you. And He's so generous that He'll even replace your sins with good deeds. And it's very important to know that, because we're all going to make mistakes even after we've changed for the better.
Very important point. Very important, because this is a misconception many people have, and the satanic forces, they try to have a person comfortable in their realm and thinking that now if they come living this way of life, that we're talking about, that they have to be perfect human beings. There's no such thing as a perfect human beings. Otherwise, you'll be like an angel. But we're all works in progress. We're going to make mistakes. But you have a Lord, a creator, who's the most kind, the most merciful. Just keep turning back to him. But as long as you're making the strive forward to go ahead and make yourself a better human being, getting closer nearness to your creator. This is the ultimate goal. So thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to say for someone who's out there who's kind of stuck? You know, they're hearing your story, you know, their fitra is gravitating towards what we're talking about, the oneness of God Almighty Allah. They've investigated some of the different religions out there. They like the complete submission and surrender, because that's what Islam means, to submit your will to God Almighty alone, to have no other gods besides the one God. They believe that Jesus was a mighty messenger, peace be upon him. They believe Muhammad, peace be upon him, is also a messenger. Evidence is pointing at that. They see all the proofs and evidences, but now they're watching, but they're still like on the fence, right? What do you say to someone like this?
Absolutely. I would say to this person, whether they're someone who's confused, maybe they don't have all the evidences, the best thing to do, as you believe in God, but you don't know what choice to make, pray directly to God and ask for guidance. God guides the people who are sincere to them, and he will answer your prayer. As long as you ask him and ask him alone and be sincere, God will guide you. And the person who has received all the evidences and is convinced, but is hesitant to really make that commitment, my advice to them is, the life is short. The life is very short. When I remember that instance when I was 14, 15, like it was yesterday, and now I'm 29, I'm married, I have children. My life has changed. You never know. Any moment could be your last moment. And if you really want to be having a feeling of peace and security and safety, you can only receive that from having a relationship directly with God. So don't hesitate and be confident and be confident in the evidences that God has guided you to. And by doing that, there's no way you can go astray.
Did you get a chance to remind your friend of his situation where he said, God sent me back? Did you get a chance to remind him? Because the next time, maybe when it does happen, or for sure, we're not going to be coming back. Once it's over, it's done. And we don't get a second chance like he testified to. You get to remind him that God sent me back?
Absolutely. I reminded him that shortly, over the years. It's been almost 10 years since that event, but any chance that I get to talk with him and we still talk as if no love's lost when we do talk, it's definitely something that I remind him about, and something that he agrees with and he understands. But again, sometimes to make that commitment, that people may be afraid of what other people think of them.
Yeah, may Allah guide him to be on the path that is pleasing to the Creator of heavens and earth, God Almighty Allah, Islam. Thank you very much, brother, for sharing your amazing story with us.
Thank you for having me, Eddie. It's an honor.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bless you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.